On in our service this evening, Ali was going to be speaking to us on the subject, Easter, does it really matter? And he'll be referring in that talk to the final chapter in the Gospel of Luke. But I want to read elsewhere in the New Testament at this point in the service, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you'll find that on page 961 if you want to follow in the Church Bible. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to read the first 19 verses of that chapter. A very well-known chapter in the Bible that focuses on this whole idea of resurrection and speaks in part about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read together in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the words I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as one to untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Amen. Well, good evening, and a happy Easter to you all. As David mentioned, we're thinking this evening about the question, Easter, does it really matter? We're going to do things very slightly differently this evening, but really thinking about that question for the next 20, 25 minutes or so. Easter, does it really matter? I don't know about you guys, but for me, I think Easter has the unique distinction out of all of the kind of annual holidays, the element of surprise, I like to think, in that I never know when it is going to be. Everything else, I could give you a good date for kind of Christmas, bonfire night, my birthday, I could have a good stab at my wife's birthday, and yet Easter has that kind of, it's a movable feast, I suppose you would say. It doesn't even have a set month. From one year to the next, it's always moving around. I thought I'd do a bit of research, and I looked it up, and apparently, if you struggle with this as much as I do, this might help you. It is always the first Sunday after the first full moon on or after the vernal equinox. So if you've got a telescope at home, I'm sure that will be a big help for you. But tonight, as we ask that question, does it really matter? Does it really matter? Is it all just about kind of Easter eggs and hot cross buns, or is there something more than that? And what I want to think about as we ask that question, as we hopefully answer that question, is not, does it really matter what date it fits on? Not, does this kind of weekend really matter? But actually, does what we celebrate, does what we remember at Easter, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, does that really matter? And as we think about that, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, I'm going to kind of home in this evening on the second of those two, on the resurrection, and we're going to think about that. Does it really matter? And if so, well, why does it matter? What difference does it make? Over the course of history, I'm sure there have been lots and lots of people who have come along and promised great things, and who have done great things, and then who have died. And we have gradually sort of forgotten all about them, and they've disappeared into the mists of time. And yet, according to the Bible, there is only one person who has come and promised great things, and done great things, and died, and then risen again. So that is really what sets Jesus apart. And surely if that is true, if what we celebrate at Easter is true, if the resurrection is true, then really it changes everything. Surely then it really does matter. And I hope that we're going to see that as we look at the Bible together. Really, the Bible has no doubt that Easter and the resurrection, which is kind of at the climax of Easter, is vitally important. And so we're going to look together at the very end of Luke's Gospel. It's actually following straight on from what we looked at this morning, the last chapter of Luke, and we're going to look at it in really two sections, from verse 36 down to verse 49. If you've got one of the church Bibles, it's on at page 885, it'll come up on the screen as well. And remember, as we read this, this is the very end of Luke's Gospel. This is after the cross, after Jesus' death, after the empty tomb. This is Luke showing us a risen, resurrected Jesus. And so I'm going to read the first half of that passage now, verse 36 down to verse 43. And as we read this, try and have a listen, see if you can notice how Luke is really going to great lengths, going to great pains to highlight how this resurrection is real, how this is a fact. Let me read these verses now. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And it seems like so many sort of strange details added into those few verses, but really, can you see how Luke is emphasizing that this really happened? There's so much kind of physical language and physical description of the events here that Luke gives us. He tells us that they see Jesus. He speaks to them. They're invited to touch him. He eats right there in front of him. Really, the purpose of these verses is Luke emphasizing that this is what really happened. This is fact, with all the details that go with fact. And it is not a fiction, and it's not a myth. I think it's very common today, in 2016 and in our kind of modern era, that we think, well, you know, we could never be expected to believe in a resurrection. Not today. How can we expect modern, you know, scientific people to believe that? You know, resurrections just don't happen. And in a lot of ways that's true. Does anyone here know someone who has been resurrected from the grave? I'll guess not. How can we expect people to believe this? And perhaps that's you this evening. You're thinking, how can they expect me to believe that? This is 2016.
Resurrections don't happen. And yet the fact is, and what we so easily forget, what we need to remember, is that resurrection didn't happen back then either. So while science and medicine might have advanced a lot in 2,000 years ago, even back in the time of the Bible, they still knew that dead people stayed dead. That is not a recent discovery. They knew all too well about death. They knew that once someone had died, once someone had stopped breathing, once someone had been put in a tomb, well, they are gone. And you see it even here, don't you, in the disciples' response. Jesus says, "Why are you troubled?" It says they're frightened. It says they thought they saw a spirit. They're not expecting this resurrection. Nobody thought that this was a normal thing 2,000 years ago, and no doubt they would have raised so many of the same objections to the resurrection as we hear today, as perhaps we even might have this evening. No doubt that the disciples were, it was said that perhaps they just imagined Jesus. Perhaps it was a hallucination, maybe it was a ghost, or maybe what they really meant by the resurrection was that Jesus lived on in their hearts, that Jesus was always with them. And we hear all sorts of things like that today, and I'm sure throughout the history of the church, but no, that is clearly not what Luke is describing. That is not the resurrection that the Bible gives us. Luke really is answering, isn't he? He's answering all of those objections which have been raised from the very beginning. And Jesus himself answers, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." Now really the point of these verses is Jesus himself and Luke, as he records this, going to great lengths to make it abundantly clear that what happened here is a real, true bodily resurrection, that Jesus came back from the dead. And why do they stress this so much? Why do they make this so clear? Why do we get details about Jesus eating a piece of fish? Well, it is because this resurrection is really, really important. It is because, according to the Bible, it really does matter. There's a book which was written just over 100 years ago by a couple of guys. It's called Principia Mathematica. I can tell you that I've never read it. It doesn't sound brilliant. But I can tell you a sentence from page 379. 379 pages in, the authors are able to make this statement. "From this proposition," they write, "it will follow, when arithmetical addition has been defined, that 1 plus 1 equals 2. That's brilliant, isn't it? 1 plus 1 equals 2. 380 pages to show that 1 plus 1 equals 2. I've not read any of those 379 pages, and I'm sure they're fascinating. But the question kind of comes to mind, why did these authors spend so much time and effort and work doing this, proving this? And the reason is that they wanted to put down the principles of math, the Principia Mathematica, that's what that means, the principles of math, the very foundations of math. That is what they're trying to prove. And because if you cannot trust this most basic of sums, well, then everything else, whether it's your graphs or integrations or whatever kind of math fun you like to have, or the rest of that does not hold up if the basics cannot be proven, if the basics cannot be trusted. And really, that is what Luke is doing for us here in this passage. He's showing us the foundation of Christianity, a risen Jesus Christ. He's showing us that Easter and the resurrection really do matter. They couldn't be more important. And this isn't just unique to Luke. This is the message of the whole of the New Testament. We heard David reading to us before from the Apostle Paul. He writes to the Corinthians, speaking of the resurrection, and he says this. He says, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." Incredible statement, isn't it? Paul doesn't say, as you know, so many might be tempted to say today, well, you know, the resurrection, it may or may not have happened, but even if it didn't, well, look at all this good stuff that Christianity still has to offer. No, Paul says that is the essential. Paul says that the whole of Christianity stands or falls with the resurrection. But without the resurrection, he says, we're wasting our time and you're wasting your time. The resurrection is the 1 + 1 = 2 of the gospel. It is the very foundation. It really matters. And as we see here in Luke, the Bible is really clear that it really happened. Luke shows us a risen physical Jesus. And so from the first half of this passage, I think we get the answer to our first question. Does it really matter? Well, yes, Luke says it really matters. Yes, Jesus says it really matters. He makes the point, I'm not a spirit, I've got flesh and I've got bones. It really matters. Well, let's move on. I suppose if we get that part of the question, if we think it really matters, well then we naturally follow on to a second question. Why does it really matter? Why is Easter, why is the resurrection in particular so important? What does it mean and what difference does it actually make? I'm going to read the next few verses in our passage, verse 44 down to verse 49. Then he said to them, that's Jesus again, he carries on then, after he has appeared, after he has shown them, proven to them the resurrection, proven his physical body, he's right there in front of them. Then he said to them, what is it that he wants them to know straight away, following on from the resurrection? He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. I just want to see very quickly three things that Jesus highlights in light of the resurrection. Three consequences which flow out of the resurrection. Why the resurrection is so important. And firstly, and this is common really to what we looked at this morning as well, firstly, it shows us that the whole of the Old Testament was pointing towards Jesus. The very first thing Jesus highlights as he's presented himself as risen to the disciples. The Old Testament, written long before Jesus was born. 39 different books, but all tied together, telling the same story. Different books, but all tied together, looking forward to a great future, looking forward to a great Saviour through whom God would rescue his people. Looking forward to a Saviour who would be king and yet also to a servant who would suffer. And what is the first thing Jesus says as he presents himself to the disciples after the resurrection? He says, that's me. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, they're the three kind of blocks that make up the Old Testament. All of it, Jesus says, is about him. We did in our Sunday morning services a short kind of journey through some of the major events of the Old Testament with the tagline, as it were, every story whispers his name. And now here we read that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus opens their minds so that they can hear those whispers that are whispering his name. So that they could see that it is all about Jesus, all about what he was going to do. And it shows us, doesn't it, that Jesus' death and his resurrection, it wasn't an accident. Jesus didn't die and then God think, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen, I'll bring him back to life and we'll see what we can do. No, this wasn't plan B, but it had been God's plan from the very beginning. It was God's plan which is woven into the very fabric of the Old Testament. Thus it is written, Jesus says, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Easter was the final execution of that plan which had been in place from the beginning of time. And so the first thing I suppose that we see from the resurrection, it shows us that Jesus is the one that everything is pointing towards. He is the Saviour that the Old Testament is looking to. In a lot of ways we read the Bible kind of from back to front as Christians. As we read all that what happened before Jesus, well, we know that that is who it's pointing to. That wherever we open our Bible, whether in the New Testament, whether in the Old Testament, Jesus is the hero of the story. And the resurrection shows that to us. The resurrection proves that to us. That the Bible is all pointing to him. And so I think that's the first thing that Jesus shows after his resurrection appearance. The first consequence, in a way, of the resurrection. And the second one, we find it in this passage, in verse 47. The second reason the resurrection really matters is that it means that repentance and forgiveness are possible. Verse 47, repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. A few more questions. Why did Jesus come to earth? What was Jesus' mission? Why did Jesus have to die and rise again? They're all big questions. We could certainly spend an evening on each one of those. But a very succinct answer, I suppose, would be so that sinful humans can be forgiven. And as we look at the resurrection, well, we see that that mission was a success. The resurrection is a sign of mission accomplished. Because of the resurrection, forgiveness is available. And this forgiveness, it means eternal life. It's eternity with God. That the power of death is broken. Jesus has decisively defeated death. He's risen from the grave. There couldn't be a clearer sign of his victory. It was on the cross when Jesus died that he took the punishment and paid the penalty and died the death that we deserved. And the truth is that each one of us has turned away from God. The truth is that many, many times in our life, that the whole direction of our life has been away from God, living as if we know better than the one who made us. And that's the choices that we've made. That's the direction our life has been heading on. And because of that, well, we deserve to be separated from God forever. And yet it is on the cross that Jesus took that penalty upon himself. It's on the cross where he said, you know, I'll pay the penalty that they deserve. I'll die the death that they deserve. And that is the only way that it is possible for humans to be forgiven, to be reconciled to God. And so when we see the resurrection, that is the stamp that Jesus has achieved that. That the penalty has been paid. That there can be no question about the success of Jesus' mission. Again, Paul from that section in the letter to the Corinthians, he says this, if Christ has not been raised, well, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And yet he goes on to say the very next verse, but in fact, Christ has been raised. There is forgiveness available. Christ has done it. Christ has done his part. And in response to that, that's what we see through the resurrection, the victory of Christ, that forgiveness is available, that he has done his part. Well, what is our part? Our part is to accept the call to repent. What is it that Jesus says? It's repentance and forgiveness which is to be proclaimed. This forgiveness is a completely free gift. Jesus has achieved it all. We see that success proven at the resurrection, that we must accept it. We must repent. And really that word, they simply means to turn around. To turn from our own way, to turn and face Jesus, to trust what he has done. How can we trust what he's done? Because we see him resurrected. We see him brought back from the grave. To repent is the most important decision we can make in our life. There is nothing that should come ahead of that. Nothing should be above that on our list of priorities. We live in a busy, hectic and demanding world where there are countless pressures on us and demands of our time, and there's always something else to do, yet nothing should stand in the way of us making this decision. Nothing should stand in the way of us listening to a resurrected Christ and his call to repent in order that we may be forgiven. Without that, Paul says, you are still in your sins. And it could not be more serious. To be separated from God because of our sins, to be opposed to God because we are still in our sins, because we have not turned and repented. And yet, because of the resurrection, we know that forgiveness is available. And that is the very heart of Christianity, the forgiveness that makes us right with God. The grace that God has shown us so that we can be adopted into his family. And that's what the resurrection demonstrates to us is possible. And that is why Paul says that, you know, if there's no resurrection, well, forget about Christianity. It's a waste of time. You're still in your sin. But Christ has been raised. Forgiveness is available if we repent and turn and trust in Jesus. So what does the resurrection show us? Firstly, that the whole Old Testament is pointing forward to Jesus. Secondly, that forgiveness is available if we repent. And thirdly and finally, I'm trying to think, what difference does the resurrection make to the mission of the church? Many of us here this evening will accept the truth and will accept the importance of the resurrection. We'll recognize Jesus as the center of the Bible. We've repented and we've trusted in him. Well, what now? What difference now does the resurrection make? Well, finally, we see in this passage that it is the resurrection of Jesus which empowers us and enables us to go and proclaim this good news to the world around us. That's what Jesus says in it. This good news, this repentance and forgiveness is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. That is the mission of the church. As we draw to the end of Luke's gospel, we could flip over in our Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts is written by Luke as well. It's kind of Luke volume 2. And the big story of Acts is this message of repentance and forgiveness being proclaimed, starting in Jerusalem and spreading to all the nations, reaching the ends of the earth. And that is the mission that God's church is still involved in, proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. In whose name? Well, in the name of a risen Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where this mission comes back to, the resurrected Jesus, sending out his witnesses, sending out those who have recognized the truth and the importance of the resurrection and everything that that means. There's no doubt as a Christian, they say that if you want to make Christians feel bad, you can ask them about their prayer life or their evangelism. That's the two things that everyone sort of shuffles, and I can certainly identify with that. It is very difficult to speak to people about the gospel. And where is it that we struggle most? Well, so often, it's right here, isn't it? It's at the miraculous. It's at the supernatural. It's the fact that the very foundation of our faith is a man who died and rose again. Not just any man, but God himself. Come as man who died and rose again. So often we're happy to talk about the good stuff that the church does or the good behaviour that the church encourages. And yet it is the death and the resurrection of Jesus which is of central importance, which really matters. So often that's where we struggle, what we struggle to speak of. And yet here we see in Luke that actually it is that resurrection that rather than being a stumbling block, really should be the encouragement to us. That as we go out and share the good news, we proclaim on behalf of a God who has defeated death. We proclaim on behalf of a God who offers eternal life to those who will repent. We proclaim on behalf of a God who promises to help us as we share that message. A God who is infinitely capable of continuing to carry out his plan through us. And so as Christians, we need to time and time again come back and focus on the resurrection. Look at that empty cross and that empty tomb and a risen Jesus. And that is how we're able to continue his mission with great confidence. A mission which doesn't shy away from, but rather actively highlights the resurrection of Jesus Christ as its very foundation. As its 1 + 1 = 2 solid foundation. As the hope, the certain hope that we have for the future, that as Christ died and raised again, well, that is the message that we have to share, that if people will repent, that there is forgiveness available, and that we can have eternity in heaven with him. That's the great news of the resurrection. It is, to answer our first question, is it important? The Bible tells us it is of incredible importance. There is nothing more important. I hope that we're able to be encouraged by that. If you've not accepted that importance and the truth of that this evening, I hope you're challenged by that and challenged not to just put that to the back of your mind as something to think about, but something not to leave this place without speaking to someone about or without committing to think further about. And if that is something that you've accepted, well, I hope that's a great encouragement to us as we look to share this good news, share this importance with those around us. And so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that we can turn to it and you speak to us through it. Lord, we thank you for the incredibly clear picture it gives us of the resurrected Jesus. A picture which leaves no space for overly spiritual interpretations. A description which leaves no room for us to be able to pass it off as something we can take or leave. But a picture that clearly shows us its truth and its importance. Lord, I pray that this evening you'll help each one of us here to recognize that truth and recognize the significance that comes with it. Pray that you'll help us to turn and repent, to put our trust in the Jesus who is risen from the dead, who is the centre of the whole Bible, who the scriptures all point towards, who offers us eternal life if we trust in him. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to think about this. Pray that you'll help us more and more to recognise how glorious Jesus is, how great the victory he won is as he defeated death and offers us salvation. And Lord, we pray all these things in his name. Amen.